Let the kids hear how much you love your wife. And the kids are like, oh, dad, right? But there's nothing a kid wants more than to know that a man, a husband, a dad loves his wife. They might be like, oh, gross, gross, gross. But inside, they're like, thank you, God. Consciously, they will learn and understand there's nothing more powerful and healing for a marriage to be strong in Jesus Christ in the home.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light and part two of our two-part message on marriage, on husbands and wives. Today's message is called Unless the Lord Builds My Marriage, and we are looking at Ephesians 5 today for what God has to say to the husband. If you missed part one, wives, you were covered first, so you can go back anytime and review that message or this one wherever you listen to podcasts or on our website at liveinthelight.ca. We love to hear from our listeners, and this series has already got so much feedback. It's amazing to hear how God is working in marriages all across the country, and we are so grateful for that. If you want to share with us what God is doing in your life, we cannot wait to hear from you. You can email us through our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Okay, let's get moving back into Ephesians 5 today and our message to husbands. We learn here how a husband should love his wife. Let me give you a hint. How Jesus loves us is an incredible example. If you're ready to learn more, you can open your Bible. Here's Pastor Robbie.
I love here too, right? When something becomes more pure spiritually, it becomes more beautiful. That's just an absolute truth. If someone becomes more spiritual, closer to Christ, they become more beautiful, not physically, spiritually. And sometimes the physical and the spiritual all kind of go together. So I think I believe this. I've heard it said, and I believe this. You can see when a woman is loved biblically. I believe that. I believe you can see when a woman is loved by her husband, not perfectly, but powerfully, the way Jesus Christ has loved the church. What you see in the woman, you see she has a peace. There's a confidence that she has. A woman who's not loved biblically is insecure and constantly looking around because she doesn't have the assurance from her husband that she is as beautiful as she needs to be in his eyes or treated in this way and loved. A woman who is loved, again, by a man, biblically, sacrificially, with a sanctifying love. Again, you can see there's a radiance so often on her countenance. But as I said, I think you can also tell a woman who's not loved. There's times where there's that insecurity and that lack of peace. And it's kind of it breaks your heart. Powerful. The power of biblical love upon a marriage through a man, through a husband, to his wife. Sacrificial love, sanctifying love thoroughly. It's a selfless love, a selfless love. Look at verse 28 now. Verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Notice, again, Paul explicitly now makes again the connection of Christ's love for his church and a husband's love for his wife. Now, let's not misunderstand verse 28, right? Verse 28, he who loves his wife loves himself. Let's not misunderstand that this is a husband motivated by self-love. It's a selfless love that ends up being, again, theologically speaking, a love that comes back again upon yourself. So it's not motivated by self-love. Listen, it is a husband motivated by astounding theology. Husbands, pay attention. Young men, pay attention right now. Right here, verse 28, this passage, man, it's incredible. But watch out, it can change your life. Right? So what is the Holy Spirit through Paul teaching us? Well, in marriage, by God's design, as it's going to say here in a couple of verses later, right? A man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh, one flesh. So this theological reality and design of a man and a woman coming together as one flesh, it's astoundingly powerful and beautiful. So therefore, if two become one, what happens to the one happens to the other. When one is blessed, the other is blessed. Necessarily, theologically, fundamentally has to be. When one is hurt, the other is hurt. You cannot hurt the one without hurting the other, because you are under God's supernatural design of becoming two into one flesh. So Paul's appealing to this reality, and he's like, whoever would hurt himself, why would he do that? He doesn't hate himself. He doesn't hurt his own body. He nourishes it and cherishes it. He who loves his wife then loves himself. So I remember as clear as day, the first time I understood this theological reality in my life for my marriage. It was 24 years ago, first year of marriage. Man, I had a lot to learn. And Jill and I, we were in our basement apartment. And that was a good year. It was a hard year, but it was a good year in the end. We learned so much. I learned so much. And we're sitting in our basement apartment, and I said something to Jill that was intentionally harsh and trying to hurt her. I was sinning, and I said something sinful, harshly, to hurt her on some level. And it was like, I just remember this again, and it's like it happened yesterday. The Holy Spirit stopped me in that moment, stopped me, and said, Robbie, like not audibly in my heart, but just completely, Robbie, don't you understand? You cannot hurt Jill without hurting yourself. The moment you're harsh with her, you might as well, you know, understand the pain and hurt you're inflicting upon yourself. Why? Because the two become one flesh. You love her, you love yourself. You bless her, you bless yourself. You inflict pain on her, you inflict pain upon yourself. You speak harshly to her. You hurt her, you hurt you. You cannot separate this. So simple, but so profound. Again, in that moment, never forgotten that. Doesn't mean I haven't made mistakes, of course I have. But the reality is the theology where you're sitting there and you're understanding, again, why would I do that? No one ever hated his own body, the text says. No one in their right mind hates their own body. You love your wife as yourself. You nourish and cherish your body because, again, why would you inflict pain upon yourself? That's the power of marriage. Men today, women obviously as well, the theology leads to life-changing application and transformation. He who loves his wife loves himself. See, what sin does, and in this context, men, what we do is we're like, no, I'm going to inflict pain and somehow I'm going to win. And that's where the Holy Spirit's like, no, you won't, bro. You're going to lose. You're going to lose every single time. Because he who loves his wife loves himself. So one of the principles here, again, try to carry with me all these years and say it often, is this. Husband, ready? Theologically speaking, every time you decide to serve your wife, I want to say it clearly, slowly. Every time you decide to serve your wife, you've just chosen to make your marriage better. 100% of the time, every time you decide to serve your wife, you've just chosen to make your marriage better. Why? It's the will of God. It's the guaranteed blessing of God. We said last week, the other fantastic passage on marriage, Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3, right? 1 Corinthians 7 is a good one too, but 1 Peter 3 really, and what we're talking about now, look at 1 Peter 3 here in terms of husbands. 1 Peter 3, 7 says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. Sounds important. Let's put some commentary on top of this, okay? Notice, husbands, live with your wives. Be present with your wives. You must be around, involved, conscious, you know, awake to the reality of what is happening. There with her, seeking to love her, to be with her. Live with your wives. Notice, in an understanding way. Husbands, study your wife. That's what that means. Live with her. Know what she loves. Know what she doesn't like. Know, again, what her strengths, weaknesses. Study her. Understand her. Be able to describe her. How many men can give me the detailed specifics of their golf club? Or their car, or their favorite sports team, like stats coming all, players this, numbers, tell me about your wife. And they're like, that's a problem, Shagri. That's a reality, and that's a problem. We are to live with our wives in such a way, we are studying her, appreciating her, knowing her, knowing again what she loves, what blesses her. Notice, honor her. to the woman as the weaker vessel, never abuse your physical strength. That's what that means, ever. Honor her. Value her as a co-heir of Jesus Christ. Again, your wife, saved in Jesus Christ, is a daughter of the King. Value her as such. A co-heir of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And then watch this, prioritize her. Why? Why? Look what it says here, that your prayers may not be hindered. Men. This is not said to the wives, it's said to us. This is explicitly saying, you don't live, honor her, value her, you don't prioritize her. God's like, your prayers won't be heard, bro. I'm not making this up, it's right here. Your prayers won't be heard. They will be hindered at the very least for a husband that does not seek to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That gets my attention. And maybe this is an answer for some here right now. This is why. You're like, oh, how much God cares about marriage. We're learning. He cares a lot. It's a selfless love, again, rooted in this. So just super practically speaking, right? Study your wife, learn how to honor her, love her. Becomes, again, Paul Tripp's so big on, you know, wonderful biblical counselor, author. Our life is lived in the small moments of life, where really leads to what's actually happening in the big picture of our lives, right? So one of the practical ways for me within my marriage and our home, one of the best ways I've learned that I can love Jill, it's not what I would choose personally. And this is not how I would be loved. But one of the best ways Jill is loved in our home is when I do things like emptying the dishwasher. That may not be exciting to you, it's exciting to her, all right? When I vacuum or steam the floors, okay? When I do things like that, I'm scoring points, bros. I'm scoring points, yeah. And I will take it. I hope I'm motivated in the right way. But when I can appreciate the hard work, if I can see her sacrifice, if I'm aware of all that she's pouring out and all the things she's doing in life, whether it's physically in the home, outside the home, spiritually in the church, wherever it might be, and I'm noticing that and I'm starting to care and I have the ability to chip in and help out with that, man. Again, that goes well with me. And that wasn't inherent in the first couple of years of marriage when I'm like, well, she'll be loved the way I want to be loved. Nope. Nope. Understanding, applying, choosing to serve, and choosing to be selfless. God help us with that as well. Stuff I think about all the time. So the principle I've said, let me say it again, both positive and negative, okay? And this is theologically true and practical. Every time I decide to serve myself, I've just decided to make my marriage worse. Every time I decide to serve myself, I've decided to make my marriage worse. Every time I choose to serve my spouse, to serve Jill, I've just decided to make my marriage better. Why? Because God says so. God says so. Now, the objection right now by husbands, well, if I serve my wife, what if she doesn't serve me back? That's not what I'm talking about right now. That's not what we're talking about. Well, she hasn't been nice to me. That's not what we're talking about right now. Imagine Christ did that to us. Well, I love you when you're nice to me. Like, well, that's not going very well, is it, right? Well, I love you when you do your part. No. That's not biblical, sacrificial, sanctifying, selfless love. Every time you trust Christ. Well, if I serve her, she might take advantage of me to the glory of God. Trust him. Well, I'll do this when she, no, you're not getting it, man. You're not getting it. Do you trust the ways of God? Humble yourself under him. Serve, love, sacrifice, selflessness. And men too, let's not be dumb, okay? You say, well, Robbie, I tried that for like 2 minutes and nothing happened. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, how about you try it for like 2 weeks or maybe 2 months? How about you build a life built on God's wisdom where it's not about what you get instant gratification in return? How about you trust the Lord and then honor him with your life and serving in this way and see how God honors that? See what God does with that. We're going to learn too, man. There's very, very few women that can resist this type of love because it's what they desire so much as well. A selfless love, fourthly, lastly, this, it's a sensitive love, a sensitive love. Look at verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, yes, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Two verbs I want us to concentrate here. I love these, nourish and cherish. I love that. Husbands, nourish and cherish your wife. They both express tenderness and concern. I'm very passionate about this. To nourish, a husband nourishes his wife. Notice that, eh? How does a husband nourish his wife? Well, he nourishes her into maturity, towards maturity. He nourishes her soul. I love that. I just think about that. Like in Christ, his leadership in Christ, his selflessness, his sacrificial love. You are nourishing the soul of your wife supernaturally. That's what the Holy Spirit does. How do we also nourish? Practically, we nourish our wives by providing for them. It's a big deal, man. I love the ability to work hard to provide for my wife and my family. Men were created to do that. We are created to be those who protect and provide. That's a wonderful, doesn't mean it has to happen only that way all the time, but it does mean that it's a desire again in the men to say, this is what we've been created to do, and we will care very much about this. We will nourish them. We will cherish them. Cherish them. That word originally meant to warm, to protect, to keep warm. So there's a wonderful affection with tender care. Matthew Henry, he said this. He said, the woman was not made out of man's head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but rather she was made out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. That's beautiful. That's a cherishing of your wife. Beautiful. We do not, as a dictator, rule over them. We care for them. We protect them. We love them. We cherish them. And again, men, this is the love that every woman longs for, because this is the love that she was created for. I remember I was at a wedding many, many years ago. I was just attending. And I was listening to the pastor, and one of the things he said always stuck with me. He said this, and he said, a woman can never be loved enough. There's a spot in her heart where it just, you can keep filling. And like my wife Jill's never said to me, would you stop loving me already, okay? She's never said that. I don't think she ever will, because she has been created to be loved by me. And my main role is to pour and pour and pour the love again, upon her life, and to nourish and cherish her in that way. It's amazing to see that. Men, now so far, right, there's a lot here. This is a tall order. We're looking at this outline. We're like, man, wow, okay. Like, now I want to fight against discouragement here, okay? Get ready. A principle we teach all the time here at Hope as well. God will never command from us what he's not willing to do in us. Okay, that's so key. If you're here right now and you're like, man, I stink, I can't, you know, oh my goodness, my failures. And by the way, women, wives right now, right? This is not the time to be elbowing your husband every time I see something you like, okay? That is not what we're doing. We're giving grace to one another, right? We're not poking on all the failures, whatever. But men and husbands, right? It is. I look at this too, I'm like, wow, who can do this, right? I can't do it on my own. No way. Christ in me. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Okay? God will not command from us what he's not willing to do in us. See, this is where you must be as close to Jesus Christ as possible. This is where you must have a life of abiding in Jesus Christ, because you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot leave where you do not go, right? You cannot teach what you do not know. Already said that. We receive from Jesus Christ, our branches attached to his vine, sap, nutrients, supernatural strength and fruit comes from Jesus Christ through our lives in love for our wife. That's how it happens. God wants to do this in every single one of us that loves him and gives our lives to him. And then what happens? You're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the love of Jesus fills my life. The love of Jesus fills my soul. And it starts to come out from my life. The love of Jesus now, sir, and first and foremost, will meet my wife. Christ loves me, he fills me with his love, and my love, again, is extended again in this context, to my wife, to my family. That's what Jesus does. It's beautiful, and it's awesome. And when you are filled with Christ's love again, and he says, now husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, what does that look like? Well, tell your wife she's beautiful. Tell your wife she's beautiful. Tell your wife how attracted you are to her, okay? Now, why would this not, the number one reason this doesn't happen of men towards their wives is because so many men have filled their lives with sexual sin. You will not be attracted to your wife if your life is consumed with pornography. Like, let's stop being so dumb. The reason we don't have, again, physical attraction or even emotional attraction, again, towards our wives, because, again, so many lives are consumed with sexual sin and all our best affection is taken up in the disgusting, demonic darkness, again, that our world is offering to us. How many men in this room, Orangeville Overflow, does this apply to right now in this room? Half? That is what the stats say. Half. Again, let's stop making excuses. If we are pursuing impurity and sinful sensuality and filling our lives with pornography, we will not have eyes for our wife. I just, life is so short. And you have one crack at this. And you're going to give your best to a demonic idol on a screen or some kind of sin in person, as opposed to loving your wife as Christ loved the church. I mean, in the end, that's going to be a major, major regret. The single greatest reason this isn't happening is because of sinful sexual impurity in our lives. And you know, when you seek the purity that's found in Jesus Christ and you repent, you cut out your eye, you cut off your hand, as Jesus says, and you take this as seriously as, man, how many times have we talked about this? Like, how many times over the years have we said something like this again and again and again and again, right? So it's like, what's it gonna take? What's it gonna take? In Jesus' name, man, in Jesus' name, stop. In Jesus' name, it's truly by Jesus, his Holy Spirit. Like, come clean, repent. Again, like, what God has in store for you, if you let him, the love that you've never thought possible, if you seek purity in him. I just tell you, I had no clue when I got married and all my baggage and all the stuff. I had no clue, man. You honor the Lord. I had no clue as to the depth of love that can be experienced and known in Christ by the Holy Spirit when you simply pursue his way. I had no idea. Overwhelms me to this day. Like, overwhelms me, the supernatural love that Jesus Christ gives all by grace. But when you seek him, nothing like it. God save us and God keep us and God protect us. And like every day you're kind of trembling in the sense of, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. Because the darkness and the evil and the temptations all around us all the time. But again, so, so important. Men, work hard for your wives. Work hard for her, provide for her. Demonstrate there's nothing you wouldn't do to protect her. Be affectionate with your wife, hug her, hold her. Audibly praise her. Out loud, praise her. Love doing that. Audibly praise her. Thank God for her out loud so she can hear. Let the kids hear how much you love your wife. And the kids are like, oh, dad, right? But there's nothing a kid wants more than to know that a man, a husband, a dad loves his wife. They might be like, oh, gross, gross, gross. But inside, they're like, thank you, God. Because they know this is, even if they don't know again, consciously, they will learn and understand there's nothing more powerful and healing for a marriage to be strong in Jesus Christ in the home. Other thing too, right, is like, husbands, you will defend your wife. You will not allow kids, your kids, to talk back to her. You want to get on dad's bad side in our home over the years? Then you mess with my wife. You be one of my kids. And you start messing with my wife and you talk to her and you talk back to her in a harsh tone. You start criticizing her. You want to get dad upset? Do that. And you will find out very quickly that dad is upset. You know, those times you come home from work, whatever it is, and Jill takes me aside and she says, something happened today. And I was like, oh yeah? And then she explains to me what happened that day and what child or whatever happens. And then it's just like, all right, let's do this. You know what I mean? And so it's funny, my oldest son was in the first service, and after the service, I went up to him and talked to him and say, hey, do you remember times like that? He's like, I totally remember, Dad. So yeah, he was terrifying. So I'm like, good. Anyways, the whole point is you mess with Jill, you mess with me. You mess with my wife, you mess with me, kids. And hey, you can disagree. You can state something that you might, you know, again, not be happy about. The way you do it is everything, because you will not disrespect her in this home. And man, the worst thing you can do is to jump on the pile when that happens. And that's what does happen with men who are disrespectful and unloving, is they will join the chorus of complaints. That can never happen. That can never happen. Love, love, love. So men, in many ways, it's time for us to man up today. First thing I'd say, repent if needed. Repent if needed, and likely is needed. It's needed in my life all the time, and it's needed in yours as well. Think through, where is my leadership need to go? And I say this too, what is the one thing the Holy Spirit's asking you to do today? What is the one thing the Holy Spirit is asking you to do today in terms of all that we have talked about today as well? Remember, man, the Lord loves you so much, man. He loves you so much, and he will never command from you what he's not willing to do in you. But we must let him. We must let him. That's love, surrender, love, repentance, and then being filled. I just want us to pray right now as we conclude this time. So let's just pray. Let's just be quiet where we are. And I pray in Jesus' name for the men. I pray for all the men. I pray for the husbands. I pray for the husbands to be one day. I pray for the young men. I pray there is such a light on wisdom right now. I pray that there is a courage of repentance. I pray that there is a conviction of direction. I pray there is, yes, Lord, I will humble myself under you and trust you, and you will use and bless. I believe that. This is not about me, we say to you, Lord. It's about you. I pray for more men willing to love in this way, more men willing to lead in this way, more men trusting if the Lord builds the house, I will know God's favor. So would you do that? Would you do that? We pray in Jesus' name. I want you to see how our passage ends today as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. It's a beautiful connection. It's a beautiful transition. Verse 31, therefore, because of all this, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Notice verse 32, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. It refers to Christ and the church. So, the love of a marriage that we're preaching on all day today is rooted in the love of Jesus Christ for his church. The source of our love for one another is the love found in Jesus Christ. And what was the love of Jesus? It was a sacrificial love. Unbelievable sacrificial love, giving his life for us. It was a sanctifying love, cleansing us by his blood, washing us clean, maturing us as we go forward. It was the ultimate act of selflessness, a selfless love. And it was a sensitive love, his care as it is even right now. This is a wonderful place to end. This is a beautiful spot to remember. Yes, Jesus, more of you, more of your love, more remembrance in what you've done, the source of your love flowing through my life. So Father, we pray right now that as we remember your death, we would be struck by your love. May this time be sacred and beautiful and special. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.